What it does, it shows you. At the end, when you're out of the ceremony, it's 100% up to you how you integrate and how you keep the messages, what she was showing you or what she was removing. I see all around myself, or even myself, that sometimes I got the message, but then you get dusty again. You
Yes,
know,
yes.
integration, doing the work is 300% up to you.
Hello, Zohre. Good morning, or maybe good afternoon. Yeah, we can say it's still morning. 1 minute remaining to noon.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on. It's a great pleasure and honor.
Honor is mine. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. We are going to talk about, as you said, plant medicine. I prefer the term natural medicine because it is not always from the plants. Sometimes it is from frogs. Sometimes it is from mushrooms, which are not plants technically. They are the origin of all of us. Let's start with you and your journey into these natural medicines, or whatever you prefer to call them.
Well, the one I have experience with are plant medicine. They are from plants, but as you beautifully say, let's not label it. Whatever we relate with, that natural medicine, ancient medicines from our ancestors, because they're around since thousands of years. So, yeah.
How did your journey begin? When, because that requires a kind of open-mindedness when you try to talk to people about it. Most of the time, they do have a guard against it, labeling it as a drug. So it requires some open-mindedness or some easy starts. How did your journey start?
Yeah, I will call it calling. That openness that you even like yourself right now, that you're open and you're interested in this subject. So you're interviewing me on your podcast. It means you have a calling. So in this field, they call it calling, because if there is no calling, there is a guard, and it's absolutely beautiful and fine, because we are in a different places in our journey.
Perfect.
And it's not an easy thing to do. If I'm not approached, if nobody talk about the subject, I have friends and family that they don't even know that I have experience with that. So that's why I call it calling. And if there is a calling, your eyes, all your senses are getting open, and the universe start talking to you through a person, through signs. The journey starts from there, when and then you start researching, you start hearing more and more and more. And then I truly feel the medicine in the right timing and setting and setup opens the doors for you. So then you come across, you find the right place, and you have your first journey. So mine was in 2019. And I truly believe that this calling has nothing to do with any background you have, any gender, religion, nationality. You just need to be a human being and having this soul and heart that you have, and you will receive the calling. I actually, in our family, my husband was the first person, and I had the guard, because I would consider myself as the spiritual one. I was very much into yoga, meditation. I was a big fan of Eckhart Tolle, all the spiritual teachers. And I would, the day he came and told me he wants to try this specific plant medicine, ayahuasca, I was like, oh my, oh my, that was missing. Now he wants to do some drugs, So I didn't have the calling, although I was the spiritual one. And once you get to know people who has experience, you will see there is no one category of people who have the calling, because at the end, we are all one. We are all from one race. We are different individuals, different flowers, smelling differently. But at the end, you're all originating from one source. So yeah, the calling doesn't give a shit who you are, what you do. And my calling started after my husband coming back, seeing the shift in him. And then another friend went. I saw the shift again, but it took again a few months, and then something in me turned on. I feel like the medicine started calling me, but I didn't hesitate. I just went. But it was in the most incredible setting and setup. And that's what I would love to talk about a lot about it, because we see all around the world, this is the nature of human beings. We love to abuse substances and use it in the wrong place, wrong setting, for wrong, with the wrong intentions. So the most important part, even more than the calling, is that you're choosing a right, safe environment where they will guide us, they will teach us how to set the intention, because it's a tough journey. So yeah, I was very lucky enough that the place where my husband went is just the one and only plant medicine retreat in the world, the one and only, with a medical license, with MDs on board, a combination of ancient mythology, the real shamans from the Amazon, but in a very modern setting and setup, where we as westernized, like modern people, would feel safe, will have the possibility to open up, you know. And again, setting and setup, license, medical license, having MDs on board in a country that these plants are legalized by government. These are all, you know, factors that gives you safety in order to open up easier. And I feel if you do it somewhere in, I don't know, with a person you don't know and you don't feel safe physically, I mean, you could have a bad journey. Bunch of things could happen, because you open up, you become like a baby. You really need to be able to, you know, a baby is super vulnerable, right? You might not even be able to go to bathroom by yourself. So I was lucky enough to find the center for my first experience, and yeah.
How does ayahuasca change a person? And, or better to ask, how did it change you? Or if you would like to open up about your husband, that's also fine. From what I understand, and from what my experience has been with, for example, mushrooms, is that all kinds of people may experience it and get to different conclusions. I know people who have become vegetarians after psychedelics. I know a person who became a hunter, and he said that the only way that I can appreciate the food I eat is that I hunt the animal, and I appreciate the fact that that animal has given its life for my good. This is just one example. I have seen Republicans and Democrats being proponents of psychedelics. So it doesn't, I believe, change you to one thing. It does change you, but it doesn't take everyone from point A, B, C, D, E, F, Z, and take all of them to, for example, A prime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know your personal journey. How did it change you? Or how did it change the people around you that made you curious to try ayahuasca? And a short question is that I think ayahuasca was the only plant medicine that you used, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, the one of the most strongest ones. I really feel connected to this medicine, because I really feel that it's one of the only ones. It's one of the only components that we already have it in our body. mushroom is not the case, and all the others, I don't like to talk about anything else that I haven't tried, or other psychedelics that are human made, they're made in the lab, which has everything has its own place, right?
Yes.
They're using, I think, lots of different psychedelics for psychotherapy and all these things. I respect them all, but I don't talk about it because I didn't try it. I have no experience. But ayahuasca activates DMT in our body, which we have, and we produce it every night we sleep. It's nothing external. So yeah. And it's a very beautiful observation of you that it's not like a shablon that everybody comes out in the same and nobody turns to yoga or Jesus or Muhammad. What it does, it just puts you in touch with who you truly are. And we are all different individuals. We all came for a different game, right? And the first thing it does, it removes everything that doesn't belong to you. But before I talk about any experience of mine, I would love to mention that this incredible concentrated drop of nature is not a magic pill. She's not doing the work for you. She's putting you in touch with who you are, let you remember, because there is nothing that is lacking in us. We are totally completed. We are children of God. There is no error in any creature. We just tend to forget when we get extremely involved in the material life. Whenever I sound too spiritual, just let me know and I will shift to more scientific.
No, just be you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, whatever it does, it just maybe help you to undust. And that's why you just remember your dharma or whatever game you came for, and it puts you back to your authentic self. What it does, it shows you at the end when you're out of the ceremony, it's 100% up to you how you integrate and how you keep the messages, what she was showing you or what she was removing. I see all around myself, or even myself, that sometimes I got the message, but then you get dusty again.
Yes, you know, yes.
Integration, doing the work is 300% up to you. So when you come back, you get in touch with your subconscious mind. You see what was happening in the early ages, that the trauma happened. And then with that trauma, you have chosen as an innocent soul to put some mask to cope. So it shows your coping mechanism, what you've been choosing in order to survive. But then you're safe now. You can drop the mask. You can become who you truly are, that joyful, beautiful soul who came for material experience. And then from there, you could become a hunter. You could become a meditator. You could become a skydiver. And I would love to remove the fear of, oh my God, I hear it from many friends. Oh, if I didn't, but I love my business. I don't want to drop the money. I love, like, you won't. What it does, puts you, like, you're not from who you are. You're not becoming a Jesus Christ. You could. But it takes you one level deeper. So you will remember you came for just, it's a fun. You came for the fun. And just, it helps you to become a little bit looser, to walk more gently on earth. And that could be, you know, but in order of being light, the invitation is to drop who you're not. So again, I go back to the subject of the place. I hug this because that's the mug from the place. So important that you're not choosing a silly intention, like, is the, for example, Samantha the right girl for me in life? These are questions that you're wasting an intention. If you could just go generally looking, like asking the medicine, show me who I become. They're teaching you intention setting, so you will get all the answers, you know? So because if you see who you became, meaning all the coping mechanism you've been using for many years. So you see them, you appreciate them, you can drop them. And then you ask the medicine. The second intention could be heal my heart, because from a broken heart, we get disconnected from that, you know, innocence, purity that we are. Once the heart is healed, we drop the masks, and then, you know, you can walk gently. And then we can also ask, merge me back with my soul. So those are the key intentions that for the first timers. And but, you know, you also need guidance, because the journey could become very intense. So how to breathe, how to, you know, because the mind comes up all the time. You're not dead. You're having a near-death experience, but you're still in the body, and the mind is still in a certain level active, you know? So yeah, somebody.
The baby. He has some opinions about natural medicines, I guess.
So yeah, intention setting and
guidance, you mentioned.
Guidance, and then again, each journey will be different. This is also something that I would love to share with everybody who is listening to this podcast, that it's interesting to hear people's experiences, because she's showing you the truth in different ways, in a way that your mind can grasp. You know, we have a very limited understanding with this chip that we have here. And she's trying to show you the truth within the story. Sometimes you have, like, you know, visions that a jaguar would come and talk to you. But those are all stories. The way that she's trying to point to that one moon, there is a possibility that after each journey, we come back, and then the mind loves to hang on the story. Oh my God, I saw that. I'm actually the king of the universe, and I have the help of the superior ego, the spiritual ego. The mind could kick in any time and try to
muddy the water.
Exactly, just interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Really waste of energy. You know, we see the stories, we get the, and again, in this place, they will teach you to not get stuck in the story. Every time you see a story, just go back to your heart and ask, how does that make me feel? Because within the story, she's trying to show you, a feeling comes up, you know, something that is leading you, you know? Yeah, and then each journey is different. Usually, for the first time or again, we see a lot from the, you know, the stored story from the past. We see, like, perhaps stories from our childhood, like the first time we started not trusting, first time we started not forgiving, things that happens usually with parents, and no error, all meant to happen this way. So we disconnect in order to connect again. And that's a big question mark for me as well. Why? You know, disconnect and connect, disconnect and connect. So you tend to remember memories from the childhood, but because you're in a very open state, you're able to let go. So an instant healing happens always, because she honors your bravery. She honors the fact that you're willing to go to the storage, to the, you know, to that part of your mind that you're running from autopilot, right? It's from the coping mechanism. We don't remember all the traumas, right? That you're so brave and you say, yes, let's go. What's going on? Why am I flipping out when somebody screams? You know, screaming of another human being. Why am I so reactive? And then, you know, you drink the medicine and you remember, oh my God, this sounds exactly like my dad when I was 5 years old. And, you know, she honors the bravery. You have an instant healing. But once you're out, we need to keep some practices in order to maintain the state. And sometimes some traumas are so intense that we need to let go on it many times. So yeah, and it's a scary thing, but we should not be scared, because you will come back as yourself. That's a guarantee. maybe a little bit vulnerable, maybe a little bit open at the beginning. So you're, again, in that center. They will teach you lots of integration tools. So they're teaching you to not make quick decisions right after coming from the trip, because you're very open. We get rid of lots of immature egos, but we start also building some new boundaries and some mature egos, which we need in this 3D. So adjustments are happening within 40 days. So it's good that after receiving the medicine to stay really open, to stay really just protecting a little bit more. If you feel that some energy, some people are getting intense for a certain amount of time, just maintain being in the safe environment until we integrate. And then every time a shift happens. Yeah, but again, it's a journey to unknown. She always humbles me. Whenever I meet her again, I'm like, I know, I've been many times. But with the guarantee, the same anxiety and fear comes. As soon as she kicks in, I'm like, holy shit. In Farsi, we have two words for fear. One is like tars, which is the simple fear. And the another one is khuf. It's just beyond the ordinary fear. I would describe it as the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
It's this moment of breakthrough where you could go deeper, but the ego kicks in and said, no, we are not ready to heal. We love the familiar. We love the pain and all the story. Let's hold on that. And then you would remember things that they were teaching you in the workshops and classes, like go with her. Just go trust. And she, you know, the ego comes. It's just at the beginning, before you just trust and go, stories are coming up. You will, like, you know, it's just a conversation between your ego and the medicine. Medicine says, trust me, child, come with me. And the ego will say, oh my God, this is the setup. You know, they're all witches. And oh my God, what if you're not coming back? What if you die? What if, oh my God. And then you start seeing all the attachments. Usually we'll see, like, I had one time, one experience where I was literally seeing all the mosquitoes are eating my face, and I'm like, oh my god, but no, I have to leave now. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so attached to my face.
Oh my God,
I'm so scared. And I just literally had all this vision. Okay, now they ate my eyes. Oh God, I don't have eyes anymore. It's all gone. And I'm like, I'm safe.
Wow.
Journey. I came back when the ceremony was done. I went to the bathroom. Even my lipstick was still there, and I'm like, oh my God. You know, you will face all your attachment things that you're really grasping on it, and you have the invitation to let go. And then always unknown, always different. And always at the beginning, it gets scary. It's just my own experience. Still, I have been having many ceremonies behind me already. She always humbles me that I still don't know anything. Yeah. But as I said, I'm mentioning that I had many ceremonies for your audience. You will never crave to drink again. This powerful medicine is everything but not addictive. So it's not that you say, oh my God, I miss the taste. It's not tasty at all.
I've heard. Not
even, yeah. But again, sometimes you will have the calling again. It's something that you need to adjust again. And to be honest, this sentence is from my teacher, Taita Juanito. He says, if we are aligned with who we truly are, we don't need to drink and consume any plant medicine.
Mm.
We are the medicine. You know, we're just going through this forgetting things. And these powerful plants just remembering us, nothing else. They're not doing the work. They're just their supports. But not magic pill.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Around the Fire. If you are watching this video on YouTube, please give it a like and hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast, please leave the 5-star review. It would cost you nothing but help me a great deal, especially if you do so on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you feel particularly generous, consider supporting me via Patreon, PayPal, or Bitcoin.